Caleb's got the pen. It is good to be with you this morning. I'm so glad that everyone's safe. I'm thankful for the rain, but kind of had a little scary a few moments last night. But I'm glad we're all here and accounted for, and damage was to a minimum, so we can praise the Lord for that this morning. Amen. I want to thank you all for being here. I want to who that was here last Sunday did your homework? Bless your heart. You get an A for the day. Got 1.5. You know, listen, it does you no good to if all you're getting is what is shared with you on Sunday morning, you're not. Amen. Well, we're going to do things a little bit different this morning. That's always nice, and when we do something that we've not done, you know, before, when we get out of routine, we're going to continue our series this evening that we started several weeks ago called Not a Fan. We're going to be looking at this subject this evening, this whole idea of following the rules or following Jesus. Following the rules or following Jesus. But this morning, we're going to give an opportunity to recognize those graduates. Thank you for no help at all from you folks. Going to recognize our graduate this morning. So what I've done is I've asked Brother Caleb to come and share a word of encouragement for Calvin and also kind of give a charge to him and a charge to the church. And so he's going to come and share from God's word and be an encouragement to Calvin and be an encouragement to us. And so, come on, brother, let's get it on.
I'm going to pray for him just a second. Pray for him. Right. Ooh.
I got the power.
Let me pray for you, buddy. Father God, I want to thank you this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. We want to thank you and praise you, Father, on behalf of Calvin and the Wynn family. Just ask, Father, that you would just bless him in the days and weeks and the life for him to come. I want to lift up Caleb to you this morning, Father. Just use him to speak life into my life, to speak life into Calvin's and all those in attendance this morning. So, Father, we want to give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
On behalf of Big Cabin Baptist Church, I have a small gift for you today. Just show appreciation and all that other good stuff. So there you go. Go ahead and turn around, let them get some pictures. And guys, give it up. I mean, this is a big accomplishment in someone's life. Just graduating from high school, I mean, so. But go ahead and open her up right now. I want to see. Well, I just wanted to, you know, congratulate you on this accomplishment. It was only a couple years ago that I went through the same thing, and you're a whole lot smarter than me with that valedictorian. I didn't even have anything on my stuff. I was, you know, the just straight black was what we had for our graduation cap and gown. So that's pretty awesome, and you guys ought to be proud. You really should. And he's a great kid. He's always one of the big helpers in youth, and. So we're blessed to have him. And he was asking me the other day, he said, "Well, can I still come up to youth?" I was like, "Man, I go to kick you out of youth." Yeah, you're still welcome anytime. You'll be more of a sponsor role, but you're still welcome 100% of the time up to youth. And that's going to be my policy from, you know, until God takes me somewhere else is anytime someone graduates, they're still welcome at youth. They'll just kind of be more of a sponsor in that role. So, because we don't want to kick them out and just kind of kick them to the curb. So, but today I kind of wanted to talk about a little bit what is our responsibility to Calvin and what Calvin's responsibility is to us. And also I wanted to give you some encouragement because this next step in life is very difficult, but it's also very rewarding. See, Calvin, he's going, OSU is still the one you're looking at, okay? He's going to OSU. Now, what is your major? Chemical engineering. As I said, he's a lot smarter than me, okay? That's awesome. And so what is Calvin supposed to do for us? What are we supposed to do for Calvin? And what does this next stage in life hold for you? Well, number one, just this is my college. This is my going to college experience. Yours is going to be different school, but I'm just going to kind of go through that. Okay, so number one, you're going to get there. You're going to not know many people whatsoever. All your friends from high school, they're passed away. I mean, you'll still see them every once in a while, but they're passed away. Okay, now what you will have is you'll have a brand new set of friends that you're going to meet. You're not going to know each other. You're going to be from completely different areas. A lot of your interests are going to be different, but you're going to meet them. You're going to become friends, and those are going to be the friends that you're going to hang with the rest of your life. Those will be, I mean, I have friends. I mean, I'm still in college, so I can't really speak to this a whole lot, but my parents have friends that they met in college. They're still friends, okay? So that's what's going to happen. You're going to get there, not know what to do, but you know what? That's okay. Because we not only have a church that's going to support you, we have a God that's going to carry you through every single bit of this way. So I want to go ahead and turn to Jeremiah 29:11 through 14. Amen. Amen. All right. I'll let you guys take a minute to turn there. See, I have this awesome thing. Literally, Shane will be like, hey, we're going to give you guys a second turn there. I'm already there before he says the passage. I'm there and stuff. So I'm always just going. It is cheating, but I like cheating. So it's all good. Cheating when it comes to the Bible is okay, I think. So, all right. So if we're all there, say amen. Amen. All right. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me, and you will when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. Now, you're not going into exile necessarily, but you are going to college. And in today's world, college can be a place where a Christian goes that there's not many people around him. Okay? I can speak to that out of personal testimony. I'm not going to do that. But what you're going to find is there's going to be a lot more people that are against Jesus Christ than are for Jesus Christ. And so what you'll have to do is stand firm in your beliefs. And that's one of the reasons I got you that Bible, is because apologetics, knowing how to defend your faith and knowing what your faith is very important in college. So you're going to go, you have all these plans, and great plans. Chemical engineering, you pull that off, and I think you will. That's going to be awesome. But I always caution everybody, even if they are like, yeah, God is telling me to do this, I always caution people, is this what God has for you? Because if you're not in God's will, you ain't going to be happy. And so I'm going to caution you that if you figure out that God's saying, you know, do this, go do that. I don't know what that would be. Let's say it's go be a missionary. You know, then you need to go do that. Give up all your plans and go do that. Now that sounds a lot easier than it actually is. But let me ask you this, and I'm going to ask the entire congregation and Calvin this, okay? Let me first preface it by this, okay? We have a God who controls everything, okay? Weather, earth, built everything, he created everything from nothingness. He kind of knows everything that's there, everywhere. He's been in the future, is in the past, and he's right here currently. Do you think we ought to trust him more or what our wants and desires are? Okay? Do we think we ought to trust the king of the universe more than ourselves? And see, in our lives, in our day, at this point in time, we have a lot of people who like to trust in themselves. We have a guy, I'm not going to mention his name, but I was recently reading an article that was about him, and it said, you need to love God because he wants you to get something from it, is basically what the article is about. And we have all this different stuff of, his name is Joel Osteen, by the way, but we have all these guys telling us, you know, we need to go do this because God wants us to, you know, have all this stuff. He wants us to do this. He wants us to do this. You know, having money isn't a problem. Having, you know, being a multimillionaire is a pretty nice thing. But if that's what we're focusing on, if that's what we're wanting in our lives, in more than what God wants for us, that's where the problem comes in. It's not money is the root of all evil. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. It's not the love of power, or it's not power that makes a man evil. It's love of power. It's all these different things, wanting something more than what we want God. And that's where the problem lies. So I'm going to read another passage and everything. You guys don't have to turn there. If you want, you can. I'm going to read another passage. And this is one I read whenever it was my... When I brought a message for my graduation, a short one. So I'm going to go ahead and redo it, basically. But you, Israel, my servant Jacob, who I have chosen, the offspring of Abraham, my friend, you whom I took from the ends of the earth and called from its farthest corners, saying to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and not cast you off. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Behold, all who are incensed against you will be put to shame and confounded. Those who strive against you shall be as nothing and shall perish. You shall seek those who contend with you, and you shall not find them. Those who war against you shall be as nothing at all. For I, the Lord your God, hold you in your right hand. It is I who say to you, fear not, I am the one who helps you. That is in Isaiah, chapter 41. That's a couple verses there, 10 through 13. You know, in this life, and I'm going to keep harping on this. If you guys aren't in my youth, which most of you guys are not, you guys will notice that I kind of come back to things constantly in my messages, and there's a reason for that. It's because repetition. If you knock it into someone's head enough, it's going to stay there. And so what I want to come back to is we have a God who's telling us what to do. We have a God who's going to hold us in his righteous right hand if we're doing what he says. When you go to college, there's going to be times it's going to stink. There's going to be people that are going to tell you that God's not real. There's going to be people that are going to tell you that there's no reason to go to church. There's going to be people, and some of these people are going to be former Christians, as they call themselves. There's going to be people that are going to say, there's no reason. There's going to be professors that are going to want you to answer a question a way that would say God is not real. There's going to be professors that are going to say, hey, you need to do this. There are professors that make you watch, especially in some of the different classes, pornography, things like that. You think I'm kidding? I have a friend who had to watch something in his humanities class that was like that. We are currently living in a very messed up world, but he is the Lord our God. And no matter what comes against us, he is God. And he's the only one. He's the only one there ever has been, only one there ever will be. So what do you do? Number one, you stay in that word. You stay in your prayer life. You hold tight to the people here, even though you may be somewhere else some of the time. You hold tight to your people here because we as a church need to pour into his life, because one day you will be one of these people sitting out here watching another graduate come up and supporting them. That is our duty as a church, and unfortunately in today's America, we're not doing that as much as we should be. We're not pouring back into people's lives. As soon as they leave, give them the boot, and there you go. So we as a church, when he comes back, we need to say, hey man, how are you doing? How's your prayer life? How are you doing in your word? Not, you know, ask him about college. Ask him how that stuff's going. That's fantastic. You know, take an interest in what interests him. Take an interest in what he's doing. But take an interest in his spiritual walk as well. Because that's the most important thing. I don't care. You could be a bum on the side of the road or a king in, you know, of the United States. Which we don't have a king, but we have one in my speech right now. But you could be either one of those guys, and you know what? It doesn't matter, because the only thing that's going to matter when all this comes to an end, when Jesus comes back and says, hey guys, behold, time to kneel. When he says that, the only thing that's going to matter is whether you placed your life in Christ's hands or not. And so my challenge is this for you. Keep at it. When the world tells you to stop, keep on keeping on. When they throw mud in your face, when sin is all around you, if you're living in the dorms, it will be. I can guarantee you that. Even if you're not living in the dorms, you're still going to see a lot of it. When all that stuff's happening, remember, he's God, and he's in control. As a church, when he comes back, remember, it's our job to make sure he's poured into in his life, in his spiritual walk. And guys, he's about to open up a new chapter, but this is for everybody, not just him necessarily. Let me ask you a question. Do you know Jesus? Okay? Now let me preface this by saying, when I was 15 years old, the music minister came down and accepted Christ in the church we were at. He was a 40-something-year-old guy. He came down and he accepted Christ as a Savior. Now, everything I just said, if you don't know Jesus Christ, if he's not your personal Lord and Savior, if you're not following him, guess what? Everything I just said has no application to your life. If you haven't chosen to walk with Jesus Christ make him number one in your life, it doesn't matter how many times you've sat in that pew. It doesn't matter how much money you've given the church. It doesn't matter how many times you've prayed. It doesn't matter how many times you've read your Bible. If you're not a true follower of Christ, none of that matters. Do you know Jesus Christ? If you don't know Jesus Christ, we're going to have an invitation in a while, and I took a very short time, much shorter than I thought I would, but we're going to go ahead and have an invitation in a little bit. I'm going to talk for a few more minutes, but if you don't know Jesus Christ, it's time to get that taken care of. Because if you don't, it ain't going to be pretty when you do end up leaving this world. Okay, every time Jesus talks about hell a lot more than he talks about heaven. There's a reason for that. Hell's real. So is heaven. Hell is very real. It's a real place. People go. And it ain't pretty. We're going to have a baptism service in a little while. I think it's next week. If you guys have never been baptized, come forward and do that. It says in the Bible that you're supposed to be. Okay? I'm trying to use really simple talk, but you're supposed to be baptized. Now, only do that if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, because otherwise they ain't going to do a darn thing. But once you are saved, you're supposed to come down and be baptized. If you need to join the church, we'll be down here. We were talking this last deacon's meeting we had about what being a member is pretty much about. And if you're ready to take that step and become a member, we invite you to do so. If you need to pray for a family member, if you want to come over here and pray for Calvin, he's going to stand up right by me. And if you guys want to come up and pray for him, you lay hands on him, pray for him, he'll be here, okay? And I would encourage people to do that. Very, very much. I would very highly encourage you to do that. But if you need to pray for a family member, whatever you need to pray for, whatever you need to do, whatever decision you needed to make, whatever it is, I would invite you to come down when we have this invitation time. And I'll close with this, and then we'll pray. The God of the universe makes the rules. The guy who created everything asks us to follow him in whatever it's supposed to be, whether it's salvation, whether it's, you know, be a chemical engineer, whatever it is, he asks us to follow him. So whatever decision you need to make, it's not me that's asking. It's not me that's telling you to do it. I can't bring anyone to Jesus Christ. I learned that a long time ago. But there is one that can. Let's pray. God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this time. I thank you for Calvin. I thank you for just this awesome time that he has in his life. Graduation. And getting ready for college. God, I thank you for who he is and the man that he's becoming. And I thank you for this church. God, I just pray that we support him. I pray that he'll stay with it and that he'll keep at it. And God, I just thank you for who you are. Thank you for everything you've done. God, if there is anyone in here tonight that or today that needs to know you more, needs to come in baptism, whatever their decision needs to be, I pray that they would. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand together. And before we extend our invitation,